Morning, call the meeting of the Subcommittee on Employee Relations to order. And we have a pretty good agenda, pretty short here. Representative Hillstrom has a big test day today, her finals for her law degree, and I understand...
She's here?
What subject?
Criminal procedure.
Senator Metzen's going to help you with some of your test work.
Great.
At Mancini's, so we'll get done here.
We don't have time.
I can help, too. Luggage shower is really... Has anybody had an opportunity to review the minutes? Representative Bingham will move the minutes of our October 19th meeting. Seeing no questions, all in favor? Opposed. Minutes have been approved. Moving down the agenda to the Minnesota nurses. Right. We have your first meeting with us. Welcome. Please state your name for the record. And
good morning. My name is Barbara Holmes. I am the new Assistant Commissioner for Labor Relations with the Minnesota Management and Budget. At your last meeting, I think most of you were here. You heard from Paul Larson for the last time. He retired after working for the state for 37 years, so I am his replacement. We have our final two contracts that we need your approval on before you today. This first one that we're going to be talking about is the nurses contract. This particular bargaining unit is composed primarily of registered nurses. There are approximately 759 registered nurses in this unit. Most of those nurses work at the State School for the Deaf and Blind in Faribault, for the Department of Corrections, for the Department of Health, and I had that wrong. I'm thinking about the SRSCA contract, excuse me. If you look at what's been done in this contract, it is essentially what's been done in the contracts that have been before you last time in terms of wages. There are no across-the-board increases in this particular contract. The progression steps that are usually annually made are not made in the first year of the biennium, but will be made in the second year of the biennium. We have the insurance plan. There were no plan design changes made in that in the contracts this year, and that is the same with this particular contract. There is a $125 employer contribution to members' health reimbursement account that will be made in 2011. When you look at the costs of this particular contract, the new money salaries, $376,000, FICA and retirement, $442,000, and insurance costs, $293,000. And the reason the FICA and retirement is at the level that it is because in 2006, you probably remember that the legislature authorized a 0.25% increase in the employer contribution rate, and that's a significant part of that particular cost item. The estimated cost in new dollars is 0.53% over the bargaining base. It's 0.82% if you factor in the increase in retirement contributions. The estimated annualized percentage increase number over the term of the agreement is 2.09% or 2.4% if you include the increase in retirement contributions. There were a couple other changes made in the insurance section of this particular plan in the correctional retirement that tied to the correctional retirement plan, because a number of these employees work in facilities where they are covered by this plan. There were some increases in the amount of length of service that you have to get the retiree insurance benefit. Those were increased in a number of places. I was not in my position when these contracts were negotiated. If you have some more detailed questions, I have the person who was the chief negotiator for that contract, and she can certainly answer some of your questions if you have them.
Thank you, Ms. Holmes. Any questions for the...
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Senator Betzel.
Yep. Thank you. Ms. Holmes, Mr. Hubinger has a summary of what it is, of the contract, and it indicated that the correctional plan early retirement incentive is modified for those hired after July 1st, that they have to have 10 years of service. What has been modified from? I mean, what was it before, and what is it going to be with the 10 years?
The length,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Betzel, the length of service requirement previously, I believe, was 3 years you had to have in the correctional retirement plan before you could have the early retirement incentive. That's been increased to 10 years.
Okay.
And then in the there's a couple of other provisions where it's if you have a break in service from being in the correctional plan, leave it, come back, or if you're on a leave of absence and gone, when you come back, you have to have at least a 5-year length of service. And that 10-year increase, that increase in the 10-year length of service is for new hires.
Okay, that was going to be my next. So the current employees have the 3-year requirement for an early incentive, but it's the new employees that would have the 10-year requirement. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if someone was an employee and then they left and came back and they needed to get that five, would they be in the 5-year or would they still be in the 3?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hillstrom, when they come back, they would need to meet again that 5-year period. They may have had, for example, 8 years in the plan. They leave for a year. They come back. They don't get to just have 2 more years in the plan. They have to. They get some credit, but they have to have 5 years in the plan.
Any other questions? Seeing none, would someone be willing to move? Representative Hillstrom moves SER-1.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, the other people that are on the agenda were just backup people for additional information. Were they going to testify?
Yes, to what?
They were backup in case they were needed.
I see.
Okay. Mr. Chair, we haven't went through the subsection B yet, so maybe we should hold off on moving it until we hear from them.
Thank you. The chair is... mistake. Thank you. Yes, let's do you want to continue then with the second part?
The second contract that we're seeking approval from you for is the agreement with the State Residential Schools Education Association, and these are our special teachers that serve primarily in the Department of Corrections, in the Department of Human Services, and we have, those are the two entities that they're in primarily. There are approximately, the other entity that they're in is the school for the deaf and blind in Faribault, and we also have special teachers at the Perkins Center for Education, Arts Education. Approximately 190 members in this group. Again, no across the boards in the first or second year of the biennium, and progression increases only in the second year of the biennium. Their particular progression increases average out to about 3.8%. Approximately 51% of these employees are actually eligible for progression increases because the remainder are at the top of the range and they don't get progression increases. They pretty much stay at that point. Insurance plan design, no changes as with the rest of the contracts, and the $125 employer contribution to the HRA as with the remainder of the contracts. When you look at the cost items for this particular contract, again, you can see new money, $80,000 for salary, $176,000 for FICA and retirement. That, again, elevated because of the increase in the employer contribution that was mandated in 2006. And then the insurance costs. New cost, new dollars, estimated cost, 0.5% or 1% if you include the increase in the employer contribution, or when you do the estimated annualized percent increase that includes the tails, it's a 1.9% increase or 2.63% increase in cost over the biennium.
Thank you, Ms. Holmes. Any questions? Senator Betzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So on the early retirement incentives and the matching, it looks like everything is just being continued from the previous policy. There aren't any changes there?
There are no changes. Those are, excuse me.
Ms. Holmes, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Betzel, there are no changes. Those were continued from previous contracts.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman. And I see we're continuing that incentive for the correctional employees' retirement plan. I think that's a good idea. That's mainly because of the stress and what they go through. And anybody remember the reason why? Because that's not done very often in these contractual things that I've seen. So is that the reason?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Mensah, that's correct. It's been identified over the years that serving in those particular types of facilities is very stressful, and as with the corrections guards, who are the majority of the members in this plan, that's the reason it's
Thank done. You. I guess I did know the answer, but okay.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I need some refreshment of memory of some of our previous contracts. This is kind of the increases are kind of loaded into the second year of the contract, which is when we are facing a rather huge potential deficit. And how is my understanding is many of our previous ones were pretty flat or frozen through the period of the contract. Is this a bit richer than those by virtue of what's being done in the second year, or am I misunderstanding some of this?
Thank you for the question. Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I'm going to ask to have the Assistant State Negotiator, Carolyn Travis, who has been with us for 10 years, come up and address those particular questions if she can.
I saw quite a bit of head movement back there, so we can please state your name for the record.
Sure. I'm Carolyn Travis. I'm the Assistant State Negotiator in Labor Relations at MMB. Representative Lilly and Senator Olson, the increases in the second year are comparable to the second year increases that we gave to AFSCME and MAPE when we settled with those two groups in April of 2009, and also comparable to the other bargaining units that we have reached settlements with. It's just that these are the last two contracts that we were able to reach a settlement with. So all of the contracts are uniform in having the progression increase in the second year only.
So that's a factor, Mr. Chairman, and that's a factor then in that projection and the forecast of particularly of contracts that had already been settled, of what the implications are for our next biennium. These wouldn't be reflected yet, but
I believe that's a correct assumption.
Thank you.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Holmes, and I know you're new in your position, so thank you for your service. Any idea what the average salary is for these groups and what the average salary plus benefits amounts would be?
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Drazkowski, did I get that right?
Perfect.
Off the top of our head, none of us here probably have that answer, but I can certainly get that information for you. Would you want the average salary by bargaining unit?
Yes. Mr. Chair, if I could, and Ms. Holmes, I guess I would like to see this type of information provided with each of these as they come forward as kind of a standard piece of information that the committee gets. And I'm speaking only as one member, but it would be nice to have that, and even maybe some comparisons against the private sector and what comparable employees in the private sector are paid, maybe some trends that we see in the public sector, in these public sector unions and employee categories relative to trends in the private sector. I'm sure that I'm not sure, but I would expect that those are parts of the information that are used as you go through your negotiations. I guess I'd like to see some more of those details in each of these processes. And then lastly, Mr. Chair, if I could, just a comment, and I understand that these numbers, biennium to biennium, are very similar to the other groups that have come through, about 1.5% to 2.75% across the biennium, on average is what those seem to have demonstrated. But as we look to next biennium, maybe I do have a question here. What are we doing? What is state government doing as we look to these next groups of contracts, realizing a $5.5 billion deficit projected in the next biennium, realizing the private sector wages have decreased by 5.5%, and we are still seeing group increases of 1.5 to 2.75% over this last year or this last round. I think we need to get more realistic with where the private sector and the people who are paying and what their ability to pay is. I guess that's my question. Are there areas that you are going to be looking at in your negotiation? I know we're getting off topic, folks, so I apologize, but that was my question.
Ms. Holmes. And then just if you could in the future, it might be helpful, because that is the kind of a question that he has asked on some of the – if we could have some like the package costs, you know, just – as a normal course of business, that would probably be helpful, because he's asked about three times now. So I think at some point we should give in on that. Ms. Holmes. Natural question.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Drazkowski will certainly get that information. I think what would be best is I can perhaps work with Mr. Hubinger, and we can make sure we get the sorts of information that members of this committee want if they want some more data. As to your second question regarding what are we doing, you know, we're well aware of in the Department of Management and Budget what's going on with the budget and the sort of never experienced impact that this deficit is going to have in this next contract negotiation session. All I can tell you is we are looking at a number of a variety of means to address the salary costs. I am meeting with the unions regularly so that we are having discussions about this sort of issue, not just when we get at the bargaining table, but well beforehand. And that's what we're doing right now.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Bigham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Holmes, congratulations on your promotion. And as is standard with his question, this is my standard rebuttal. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you report to Mr. Commissioner Hansen.
Ms. Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bigham, correct.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Commissioner Hansen serves at the pleasure of the governor?
That's correct.
With, of course, approval by our illustrious other body in the Senate. This is a bargaining agreement between the bargaining units and the governor's representative. And so I have faith that those two bodies will come out with an agreement, and I don't believe the governor nor Commissioner Hansen nor Ms. Holmes would agree to something that the governor didn't approve of. The other thing I would say, please staff correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no new money that comes out of this. This comes out of existing base budgets of the following departments of these contracts of where we are approving. So I just would like to put that in perspective as well. No real question, just more of a statement or soapbox, whatever you want to call it.
Just a comment. Representative Buskowski, you might not want to know the answer to what salaries are being paid. They might be lower than the private sector. I don't know that, but we'll find out. You asked the question. Maybe when we get a little better off here in the state, we might have to adjust later on. Say upward. I don't know that. So we'll find out.
That's right. Sometimes you do.
Yeah. But if you don't want to know
the answer you want.
I know if it was federal employees, it would be the other way.
Yeah, well, we're state employees.
Any other questions regard to this discussion item?
Need a motion there.
Representative Hillstrom, I'm...
Renews my motion.
Thank you. And
you should do it.
Sorry about my error earlier. renews a motion on Senator, or SER-1. Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Noted, and SER-1, or dash one, has been approved. On to... I think you're done, right? thank you very much for coming. And
first time.
Good job. And thank you for bringing the governor's proposals forward. We'll see him at hockey. I'm sure Representative Bingham and I will have to deal with that.
Yep.
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Lee.
Minsky Administrators.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Jim Lee. I'm the Director of Personnel for Compensation and Staffing in the State College University System. The amendment we have before you today is to the personnel plan for the Minsky Administrators. There are about 570 administrators in the system. The current plan provides for an annual $600 contribution to a health reimbursement account for each administrator who is employed on January 1st, is insurance eligible, and has an HRA account balance of $500 or less. Up until now, there's been a HRA plan document with the IRS concoction that has contained some language about what happens to the contribution for those administrators who have HRA balances above $500. And it used to read that the new $600 contribution would go to the health care savings plan operated by the state retirement system. The consultants for Minnesota Management and Budget advised us that we should not have language in that HRA plan that references the healthcare savings plan contributions. So this is a purely technical amendment that moves language out of this IRS document into our plan so that those administrators with HRA balances above $500 will still receive their healthcare savings plan contributions as scheduled. There's no fiscal impact. There's no change in benefits to the employees. It's purely a technical amendment.
Any questions for Mr. Lee? Representative Draskowski.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the motion if I could.
Okay. I'll take that in a couple minutes because I don't want to get in trouble again. It's we have two items on this.
Oh, we do.
On the SCR one. So any questions for Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. Lee, just to be
you
clear.
Almost made it.
Yeah, just to be clear, this is also needed to comply with some Internal Revenue Service requirement, too?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Tuohy, thank you.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members.
My name is Chad Tui, and I am the staffing and compensation manager, state staffing and compensation manager over in MMB. And I'm here to present you with the, I think you'll be glad to see me because I believe I am the last that will come before you with a contract or plan to be approved by your subcommittee. So I'm here to present the medical specialist addendum to the commissioner's plan. This addendum establishes the compensation terms and conditions of employment for all employees designated as medical specialists, their doctors of medicine. These employees are covered by the commissioner's plan because they are prohibited by law from being assigned to a bargaining unit. Before I get to the specifics of the changes proposed, I want to briefly share some demographical information about the employees covered by this addendum. There are 58 medical specialists. There are currently 58 medical specialists covered by the addendum. Three are at health, seven are with Veterans Affairs, and the remaining 48 are with the Department of Human Services. Of those 58, 62% are currently at the maximum of their salary range, and so that means that 38% are still within their range. The average salary of a medical specialist is around $195,000 a year. In terms of the proposal that's before you, I won't go through all the non-substantive date and name changes, title changes, or minor changes, but I will call your attention to some substantive changes being proposed, many of which were covered in the summary that Mr. Huberger prepared for you. Starting with Chapter 4, the vacation leave chapter, we're proposing to delete the requirement that medical specialists must use two hours of vacation to convert 1 hour of vacation to deferred compensation. This follows a change that we made in the other plans, the managerial plan and the commissioner's plans. And there's a benefit provision that provides that medical specialists can either get a state-paid contribution to deferred comp, a matching contribution, or they can choose to convert vacation to deferred compensation. That's a feature of many of our compensation plans. In Chapter 13, the insurance article, there were several reductions in the clinic level 4 core insurance for certain services. And then there was new language inserted that the employer must offer a high deductible health plan as a voluntarily alternative to the to our current Minnesota Advantage health plan. And once again, these changes are consistent with the changes that you've approved for the other plans that have come before you. And then finally, in Chapter 14, the salary administration chapter, the salary ranges remain unchanged from fiscal 09, so nothing is going up. There are no across-the-board increases provided by this addendum, and that's similar to the other negotiated agreements and plans that have come before you. And there are no performance-based increases in the first year. However, there is a performance-based increase in the second year. Only those medical specialists who aren't at the top of their range, so remember I talked about 58 total, 36 are at the top, so that means 22 are eligible for the second-year performance-based increases, and the aggregate increases cannot exceed 3.5% of the aggregate salaries of the eligible employees. So that's the pool that, that you're working with. And I think in terms of costs, that total pool is about $160,000, roughly. The last thing I need to alert you to is that the previous addendum contained permissive language that allowed the Commissioner of Minnesota Management and Budget to establish a student loan reimbursement incentive as a way to recruit and retain difficult-to-fill medical specialist positions. And during the interim, the Commissioner went ahead in working with Commissioner Department of Human Services and approved an incentive plan. And the plan was specific to DHS, and it's only available to entice potential job candidates that have a certain psychiatric specialization to help attract them to state government. And we found great difficulty in attracting psychiatrists in general, but especially with specific specifications that are needed to provide services to citizens. And so this plan before you recognizes the establishment of that plan and states that any changes need to be approved by the commissioner and brought forward as notifying the subcommittee of any changes. And that mirrors the permissive language in the previous plan. So I think there are other minor changes, and I'd be happy to stand for questions. that's the plan that's before you in a nutshell.
Any questions?
Oh, just a comment.
Senator Metzen.
We're not happy that you're the last witness here. You're a good friend. It's Chad Toohey's father.
Oh, dear.
A good dear friend of mine, and our families go back about 50, 60 years. And his dad was a district judge. And his grandfather, Paul Toohey, very good friends of my parents, was a minority leader of the Minnesota Senate, I'm guessing about from 65 to 70 or somewhere in there. So they're great people, and here comes Senator Scheid. But anyway, yeah, the judge is my friend, the Toohey's are my friends, and quite a history in politics where I come from in South St. Paul and Dakota County.
Thank you. I'm glad you did that. That was good. Senator, or Representative Drazkowski, since there's some changes in this other part, do you still want to make the motion? There's some incentive.
Probably not.
I mean, you can do it if you want.
I'll make the motion. I think he's a little uncomfortable with this one.
I thought I'd give you an out on that. But Senator Metzen moves SCR-2. Any questions regards to SCR-2? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's approved. With your indulgence, I just have a quick question for Ms. Holmes regarding is that the library as well, the library school of blind? Do you have anything to do with the hiring of employees at the school of blind? Because I understand there's a situation where because of the hiring freeze, you have some folks that haven't, some positions that haven't been filled. And that concerns me because these people just, you know, don't have that much access to. We had a committee hearing in another committee I serve on, and I know there was a staffing problem. And then with the governor's freeze, that there were some people that weren't able to be hired. Looks like we have a dial-a-friend here.
Representative Lilly, I believe that the library is under the jurisdiction of the Department of Education. And the Academy for the Deaf and the Blind is separate and apart from that. We could certainly make some further inquiries into that situation and provide you information.
Okay. Well, my understanding is there's a couple of positions that are open, and it would be really nice to have those. We're talking like two positions or something, but it serves a really vital need for a few folks in our community that it's really important service to. Okay. Thank you. Senator Betzel.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Holmes, if I could just revisit for a moment the early incentive issue. This past session, the governor had proposed moving some people out of the corrections plan and the general plan because some people were basically working for 3 years for corrections, and then not because they wanted a pension, but because they wanted to have the health care benefits that went along with them. So is the change that you talked about, the new hires coming in having to have 10 years, is that tied into that issue so that people weren't just working 3 years and getting really good or is that a separate issue?
Ms. Holmes.
Or
certainly, Senator Betzold and Mr. Chairman, I believe that is connected in that we are requiring the longer service.
Okay.
Because it is a valuable benefit, and we felt that having just 3 years of service just didn't seem right. It didn't meet the intent of that benefit, and so we did change it to 10 years for new hires.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Anybody else? Well, thank you very much to the staff, and thank you all the members. Good attendance today. I'm very impressive. Good luck on your tests, Representative Hillstrom. I'm very impressed. You've done school work very quickly. How long has it been?
2.5 years.
Pretty impressive with all you have going on. Thank you very much, everybody. Happy holidays, and the meeting is adjourned.
How are you? One today and one tomorrow.
Drinking binge afterwards.
Might have a glass of wine, but.